cliffcentral.com.
The Gas Comedy Podcast on 9 to 10. People love it. Dave Levinson and Eric Janssen, the hosts of that show, are here with me this morning. They're our special guests between now and 9. So technically, I'm getting them to work for 2 hours, which is awesome. It's terrific. Isn't that great?
Kind of incredible, yeah. That's true.
It's manipulative,
it's
huh?
It's very manipulative.
You just realized you've been played.
Yeah, I left home at 6 for this shit.
So we're basically doing an hour. We're doing a two-hour show.
Yeah.
You must plan. Remember, we have planning meetings during the show.
Listen, you both arrived here this morning. You're both wearing Star Wars shirts, and you didn't coordinate this.
Not at all.
You've got a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Which I love. That's such an awesome R2-D2 shirt.
Shape on the bottom of it.
Yeah. And you've got R2-D2. I must play you my, this is my alarm that goes off in the mornings. Nothing wakes you up like this, I can promise you. Let me play this for you quickly. No, seriously.
My alarm is my favorite.
We should talk
song.
Amongst ourselves.
Yeah, no, no, wait.
I feel like I'm dating a 13-year-old girl. Yeah, she's on her phone during the date.
Shut up, man. Just listen to this.
So what's your mom's thing?
Where is it?
Is it a Star Wars based?
Yeah, you'll hear it now. So whenever I wake up in the morning, this is the first thing I hear.
Do you know what? I come an earlier, hour earlier to
Listen.
This show.
Okay. No, that's cool. That's cool.
That's cool, right?
I thought you were going to play like the theme song.
Wakes me the hell up.
And then you hit like some CGPO.
Are you kidding me? You hear that noise in the morning, you think, oh, Jesus,
somebody's going to probe me.
And then you have to say, R2, I'm so tired.
R2, please, let's not have so much noise.
Just wake up going, ooh.
So you are Star Wars fans, both of you.
Not really. I just know enough to survive society.
I'm not very good. If you should have...
Get out of my studio.
I love Cheers.
You should have... Victoria should be here.
Yeah,
you know what the problem is? When you've got a kid who's 7 and they ask you, Dad, are we watching episode 4? And you're like, fuck, I don't know.
Oh, come on.
When did you watch the first 3?
Yeah.
You can, no, that's when you call me on speakerphone and I'll help explain.
Okay. Jude, Uncle... The uncle wants to speak to you.
Yeah, some creepy uncle.
All right, this is how it works, buddy.
By the way, what's the most creepy sentence in the whole world?
Is it a Star Wars thing?
No.
Creepiest sentence in the whole world. Have I said it?
Have I said it?
The creepiest sentence in the whole world is, I'm your uncle with benefits.
No.
You know that a lot of families have dodgy uncles, right?
Yeah. All families have dodgy uncles.
All of them.
That dodgy uncle that you don't want to be left alone with, like ever.
No, the dodgy uncle.
And he's always the one that invites you places, like, don't you want to come with me to the Rand Air Show? He's like, nah, nigga, I'm okay.
The Rand Air Show.
I'm cool, man.
I thought the dodgiest sentence was, we've run out of ice creams, but get in the van anyway.
All right, you win.
Oh, shit.
Dodgy sentence, my middle name.
Yeah, Dodgy Dave.
I'm kidding. Dangerous Dave.
Dangerous Dave.
All right, yes. So you guys are just posing with
Don't
these shirts.
Don't
become so disappointed.
It wasn't planned, but thank you for
yeah,
thinking of.
Well done.
And also, you had the same shade as well.
Yeah,
although yours is quite a gangster stormtrooper. He's customized his helmet.
Listen, people can't see these things. You're talking about stuff that no one cares about.
This is a radio mistake.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll take a picture of them after the show and put it up so you can see their stupid shirts. All right. Have you seen Rogue One?
It's an age restriction.
Yeah, but so you're not young.
What is the age restriction?
Like, it is.
I go to movies to meet chicks.
Under 16. I can't pick up under 16.
Here's an interesting
fact.
No,
my kid. I'd like to take him with me when you go to movies.
Listen, there are two Star Wars movies that have had PG ratings. The first one was Revenge of the Sith.
Which was the one with Leia was in the costume?
No, that was the second. No, Return of the Jedi.
Did that have a restriction?
No.
Because that was damn fine.
That was fine.
It was fine. Aren't you sad she's gone, even though she was kind of...
She didn't do much other than that. She did a few of those Hallmark movies.
What else do you need to do?
Wasn't she a writer, though?
She was a great writer.
Yep.
She was very funny.
Her tweets were funny as well.
Yeah,
brilliant.
She was very funny. So, look, I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Let's talk about you two. Who cares about Princess Leia?
You know what the nice thing is? I get to know Eric now as well. Because
you don't know anything about
nothing.
Him.
This is Dave. Please come and do this radio show.
It's
and
like
this
when,
is the guy that you're doing it with.
Yeah, it was like when Dusty left. Dusty was like, "We'll give you this light skinned guy for no reason." Just
you see, it was actually meant to be Eric's show.
It was.
Yeah,
this let's find out some things as we go. Every time we do a show, we think we have a guest, but actually, he's the rogue one.
Yeah,
and we find out more and more about. He wants to do radio full time. He actually wants to go study it and become a radio.
Let's start with Eric, because the first time I met Eric, Dusty brought you in.
Yeah,
and he said, "This is the guy that we got to do the show with." And I thought, well, this, you were obviously very funny, and he, you know, I listened to a couple of shows. But I also don't know a huge amount about you. So tell us a little bit.
What would you like to know?
Well, I mean, who was the uncle who offered to take you to the Rand show for starters?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all have that uncle. His name is Robert. He's just weird as hell.
My uncle was also
And he's
Robert.
Forever in a hurry. Like, he's this guy. He just walks into our house on a Sunday, brings us newspapers, and then he goes, right, I'll see you guys. I have to go somewhere quickly.
Wow.
Like,
so he pops in and leaves immediately.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Now,
so,
where are you from, though?
I'm from Reiche Park.
Okay.
All the way in Boksburg.
Now, isn't that a terrible neighborhood?
It used to be, but like all the gangsters are dead now, so it's pretty safe.
They killed each other.
Damn safe. Yeah, yeah. They like wiped each other out.
You don't have to do it. They do it for you.
It's that whole live by the sword, die by the sword thing. Because, you know, a lot of these guys, they must have been very powerful at one point.
Yeah, no, these are the guys that like hit the airport heists and the cash in transit.
That's because
they were like the first
people. Close.
Yeah.
If you're a gangster, you go, because the airport's right there. Yeah. So obviously that's where you would go.
Yeah, no, these are the big cats.
Well, it's also a big catch. I mean, like, if you manage to take the airport, you get some serious.
See how much money AXA makes? How can you pay 48 rand for a sandwich? No. Why is the airport like that? Anyway.
Shut up, Dave.
Have you lived there your whole life?
I'm trying to talk to Eric.
I've lived there my whole life.
I mean, obviously, then when you were growing up, you would have known some of these guys.
Yeah.
And they would have been like powerful, influential leaders in the community. They would have had a lot of cash. They would have been doing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, this is what people don't understand is when you have a community like that, these guys are often also the philanthropists.
Yep.
They're the ones who do all the things in the community. They have a party in the street, or they'll pay for some a woman to be able to put her kids through school.
No, they did.
Gaetan McKenzie.
They gave back. That's what they did, yeah. And like my older brothers were in school with these guys.
Would they also be the guys you would go to if you felt the police were failing in their duties and responsibilities?
Yeah, like they'd organize mob justice like this. Like they just like, oh, so this guy did this thing and nobody, okay, cool. Don't worry, you won't see him next week. I'm like, what? Won't see him next week? What the? No,
don't you write a letter to your counselor? I mean, what's wrong with you people?
All he did was take $20 from me, man. You don't have to kill the guy. Just punch him or something.
So are you seriously studying radio now? Is this what you
want
to do?
Not yet. I want to start studying this year. I want to do the Y Academy course.
But like don't, this is day. Unradio. The worst thing to do is to start here.
No, I think here's the best way to start, because now I'm going to get all the swear words out of the way first.
Oh, I see.
But radio is dead.
We do want to explain this to you, Eric. That's why we're here. This is an intervention.
Okay. Oh, okay. No, cool. I understand. I'll do something else.
No, I think the things that radio is good at are things that could be done now on any medium.
Yeah.
But they used to be, obviously, the province of radio. And there were things that they taught us in radio. And I didn't study radio either. There's no way you could have at the time I was doing it. They would teach you how to do, you know, read the time and do the station call letters and back announce a song and that kind of thing. And they thought that was important. And now people have smartphones.
Yeah.
No, they don't care. So actually you're going about it by doing the interesting stuff first now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We've watched Eric grow.
Oh, shut up, Dave. He was there before you. What are you talking
about? You got a full pot plant when you got here.
So you technically started the show because when Dusty fucked off to Australia.
Yeah.
Then this whole thing dropped on you and you were like, well, fine, I'll handle it.
Yeah.
And then this guy comes in.
I want a rich wife like Dusty.
This guy comes
all
in.
Get one.
And he usurps the show from under you.
Yeah. No, he's, yeah.
He wanted to call it the Dave Brew. He wanted to.
Hour.
He wanted to make it about his beer.
The Dave Brew Hour.
Can you imagine?
For real.
What did you think? This thing, the studio you got here, is a brewery waiting to happen. It's got the high ceilings.
Yes.
Can we not do that?
No.
No.
I'm an ideas man.
Eric, are you annoyed and do you feel like you've been undermined?
Yeah, but
it's quarter past eight. And
shut
the last
up!
Song
let
you
him answer a question. Every time I talk to Eric, this motherfucker has to interrupt.
If you listen to our show, this is like 90% of the show. He speaks for 45 minutes, and I'm just like, okay, no, I'll throw in my two cents every now and again.
Yeah, and when you do, you're really funny.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I've listened to a couple of them when I had data on my cell phone.
But he is actually pretty funny too. I mean, Dave, tell me about where you come from.
I was born in Springs. We didn't have any gangsters.
That's even worse than Reiche Park.
Our gangsters were legit.
People from Reiche Park are embarrassed to know people.
I was there when they were still Jewish, so they're original gangsters.
But there must be a very tiny Jewish community in Springs.
Not anymore. They've kind of
died
as well.
Yeah. So them and the gangsters
live here. They live here now in
Glen Hazel.
Yeah, that's their residing place.
I'm not Jewish though. That's the weird thing.
Are you not?
I have a very Jewish surname. And I'm circumcised, which he found out. How did he find out in the second show.
Okay,
hang on a second, because I just assumed you were.
No, you know what happens in the Jewish. Obviously, it goes through the mother, so you have to have. Then my grandfather married an Afrikaans lady from Montagu, called Winifred Millicent Stemmet.
You're
from that Stemmet family.
Really, from your Hans Stemmet's family. So you're related to him.
And I have a feeling that my grandfather had to marry my grandmother. It was 19, whatever it was. 30,
oh, so. Maybe they had a kid. And
Which would be my aunt. So I hope she's not listening. But she's
but
not.
Then what, your dad's family, did they give him...
They gave him a hard time because he was proper Jewish. That's the Levinson, Mr. Solly, and he has those kind of proper... And then because he married this Afrikaans girl, and she's proper Dutch, she's like, can you McGuide? Because you must become Jewish.
She
stood in the kitchen and said, what's a kakas <She's, laughs> and not realizing that most Afrikaans families have a very Jewish-based matriarchal vibe.
Yes,
moms,
they do.
Moms rule.
That's exactly right.
So she didn't realize that she could have been. She just had us change the candles.
There's Hanukkah. There's Pesach.
Exactly.
You know,
get more holidays. My
Yom Kippur and the
plus he lost out on all those trust fund kind of vibes. So we were the poor non-Jewish Levinsons.
So he was kind of cut out from the family.
Fully. And my grandfather, and he. I'll give him the credit for that. He said he stuck with it. That's his wife, and he said, "No, I'm doing this."
Honorable guy.
Or he was a teacher at school and that was one of his pupils that was pregnant. But
do you
we
think
don't
so?
Know.
You don't know for sure?
It sounds
amazing.
It's a lack of family little thing.
It's a nice story.
So he was the weird uncle of his generation.
Teacher.
Amazing.
But in those days, you had, I mean, the farm schools, whatever. So you had, you literally finished school studying at your, what do they call them, teachers' colleges.
Mm-hmm.
You were 20, 21, and you started teaching at a school.
That's
so
right.
You're only 3 or 4 years older than the people you're teaching.
In Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
At Athlone Boys High in Bez Valley. I was 18 instead of 7.
Is that where you went to school?
Yeah.
Bez Valley.
Yeah, I haven't had a great childhood, Gareth.
No, was it hard?
Adulting's hard.
No, adulting's hard.
No, I wouldn't say it was hard. A single mom, we lived in a council flat. We did, but you know, at the time, you don't know that you're in a council flat. You just think you live really close to your relatives.
Yeah, but let me ask you both this because it applies to
comedy.
To comedy. Because if you haven't had a shitty time at some point in your life, you haven't gone through some difficulty, you can't really empathize and you can't really understand how to make great comedy. You have to be down to be up. I'm not saying that every comedian has had a terrible life, but some of the best people.
It is. You have some sort of trauma and then you draw on it.
And they're actually deeply unhappy people sometimes. Like they really are. I'm not saying this is true for you two. But I've met comedians who are miserable, miserable people. They've got
those names?
Let's talk about international ones.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these people, I mean, you look at Doug Stanhope. He's got a horrible life. He lives in Arizona. He had that girlfriend for a long time in a caravan, right? He had that girlfriend for a long time who she killed herself.
There's a little bit of
drugs. There's a lot of alcohol. But when he gets up on the stage, he is hysterical.
Yep. Like Louis C.K. He's 48 years old. Only literally started having that success in the last 3 years.
He's lived for 45 years. He had a miserable, miserable life. No one noticed him.
And in radio, is it the same? Or do you just live
radio
lovely lives?
No, radio people are even more miserable, only they're not talented enough to also be funny.
Damn it.
I think the
comedy does come from that. I mean, I remember my mom's also a depression-based person.
Did you find yourself having to always
cheer her up? So I didn't know that I was funny, but I knew how to make my mom laugh. So I literally go on stage and do an audience of moms. So if I can make a crazy bipolar alcoholic laugh, I can do you guys easily. And I think maybe that's the training you're speaking of. Like,
was she difficult? I mean, manipulative?
No, you know, when you're a kid, it's your mom. You don't know that she's...
Yeah, you're not aware of the fact that she is depressed. You just see her as, wow, she's not smiling.
No, but also now I know it's a real disease.
And then, yeah.
It's real. It's a proper thing. And when you think about Wayne Westner, the golfer now,
that's real killed stuff. Himself, right?
The story is he renovated his house. He helped his kid with thing. He went down to the academy with the golf thing. But he had planned that the whole time. That's such a dark place, and it's real. Hey? These guys, my mom also explains, like, there's a darkness, and it's almost like a hood, and it comes over, and she can't get rid of it, and then she just wants to sleep.
She was.
So it's I want to work on that stuff in terms of my real comedy stuff. I'd rather have, you know, these talks that these motivational speakers do, and Kevin Sharples and that bunch.
Yeah.
I would love to do a depression-based, how does comedy fix
influence
and how does it
and
influence
fix.
And what do we do?
Did you help her fix it in some ways? I mean,
she's
did
still
you make
alive.
Her smile?
That's the most important thing.
You kept her going, but
that's it.
I mean, she must be happy with what you've done with your life.
She is very proud, yeah. Oh. And also, I mean, to watch her get rid of it, and that's obviously with medication.
Sure.
Because without it, I can tell. If you don't have your stuff,
but this is
I can
how
hear
you,
it on the phone.
This is how you know it's not a choice. They don't wake up in the morning and
exactly.
decide they're going to be depressed. And then yeah. horrible people say, oh, snap out of it,
yes.
as if it's something they can
yeah.
control.
That is the basic answer. And I think maybe I might even call it this. Like, get over it. Like, come on. Your life is good. And they don't understand that darkness is it draws you in to the dark side.
Hmm.
I am your depression.
The dark side of the force. Right. But now, so what was your challenge?
Well, I don't know. I was
what's your challenge besides being slightly albino?
Yeah, that was kind of my challenge. I never used to fit in. Like, my thing was, I was always the out.
You're assuming that
outsider.
You do fit in now?
Yeah, no, I still don't fit in. But I've accepted it now, like, obviously. But, like, growing up, it was difficult for me because whenever I interacted with people, they think I'm weird. They think I'm strange because I'd say weird things. It would make them laugh, but they'd be like, there's something wrong with this guy. He needs serious help. And, you know, I was the last born in the family as well, so I was sort of like the tension breaker.
Is that why you wear weird clothes? It's all handmade.
Yes. No, but, not handmade.
But Eric,
I buy these myself.
When you're the youngest out of a bunch of kids, then you also have to try and fight for your bit of attention.
Yes. Right? Yeah, that's true. And there's a big age gap between me and my older brothers. The one is 9 years older than me. The other one's 14 years older than me.
Jeez.
So they were having their...
Are you sure that you were
I was an accident.
Were you meant to have?
I was an accident. I'm pretty sure it was an accident. Because like, I got
years.
To this party, ready to party, and they're like, no, just take the dishes to the kitchen. I'm like, okay. That's cool with me. I'll carry the dishes.
But that is a very average comedian kind of story. The you were the weird kid, you were the class clown, you were the outcast, but you found, I mean, I've never been in a fight, a physical fight, because
no,
I knew
me
my would get me out of any trouble at
don't
school.
Worry.
And that's this initiation thing now, this week, when I met a kid, standard six, what do you call it, grade 12?
Eight.
It's
grade
13.
Eight.
I was at school when they still had standards.
Well done.
You and the DA.
Yeah, you were in the old
Miller. And then to hear this initiation story, and the one kid stood up and said, sorry, man, I'm not you're only 4 years older than me. I'm not going to bend down and lick something off a plate and try and be cool because you're in your trick. And I said, well, good for you, but they're going to hate you, but stand up for yourself. It's good.
Yeah.
Or get, like I did, I just got into it. I said, let's do this. And then
do they still
I was the
do
cool
that
kid.
Initiation
they're
stuff?
They go to school 2 days earlier and to an orientation. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
But then that's in terms of what's in charge of. But what they're doing on the sides are like sort of maybe humiliation or what do you call it, hazing. I don't know.
Yeah, look, people are stupid.
But it does, it builds a little bit of that resilience that I had. I had to use my mouth to get out of things, tell a joke, move on.
Same, yeah.
Get out of the
way. That was me. That was me.
The world is
the first team anything.
It was also rough on me because like being from the hood, if I can call it that,
yeah.
and going to a Model C school, it was a big jump because I spent like 3 years doing the school in the location before moving to the Model
D. The Model D.
So it was a matter of
going
to
alphabet.
Is that what they call it? A Model D.
That's horrible. Yeah. I would have just said Lockshin school, but yeah, thank you.
So,
yeah, no. So it was a matter.
You in school before you went to the Model C school?
I went to Rego Park Primary School.
Okay, and what was that like?
He's very young. He's literally recently went to that school.
Yeah,
last
very
year.
Recently, like a couple of years ago. It was. I don't know, because most of the teachers that were teaching at the school were friends with my grandmother. My grandmother used to be a teacher.
Okay.
So they all still knew her and they were all still in contact with her. So if I messed up at school, I'd get the ass whooping at home from her as well. So,
game.
And that time, like the corporal punishment thing was still a big issue.
Mm.
So I still got a few ass tidings, like a whole bunch of times.
There's another community where the women were in charge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because the men weren't always there.
Yeah, yeah,
they,
no,
they,
no, no,
they
that's
were very
true.
Often in many,
that's true.
In
not,
many
not even in jail, man. Like they just vanished.
Didn't
well, they?
No,
got,
I don't think. I mean,
they died
also
before
ducked,
their wives did, and then
they ducked in the 70s, 74.
He did.
Yeah,
just up and left.
Went for cigarettes.
What?
One of those stories.
He said to your mom, "I'm going to get cigarettes,"
and
he just
and she should have known, man, because he doesn't smoke. Like, what was she thinking?
That's so dark. What's so funny?
So he just disappeared.
No, he was kind of there, but not there. You know, he was.
What do you mean?
I think parenting isn't a natural thing in those days. So take the '70s.
Yeah.
You've got a lady who's they don't understand depression.
Yeah.
So she's slightly just up and down the whole time. You don't understand. You've got two kids. You're in your 20s, and for me as a parent, I work a little bit harder, so I overcompensated a bit for my kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think parenting was natural for those post-war kids.
Yeah, look.
When was he born? In the late 40s.
I think it's hard as hell, like to get it right, and everything you do has a consequence.
Oh yes, so they're going to hate you no matter what you.
They're going to hate you, right? And you hope to do the best job you can. I see it even now. We went, we did a family holiday and I saw my two nephews who are now like, what, 3 and 7 months.
Jeez.
So they're little, very little kids. And you could see that they just take in every, I mean, you know, Mubs, you've got a bunch of relatives too. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say a bunch of kids.
No.
I have kids all over the country. I'm not
sure. But she also, Mubs and I both kind of, you know, we, I just don't know whether I'd be any good at it at all. So I'd rather not risk it.
Some advice I did get from good dads was just be there. Don't actually have to do these crazy, take them to the thing and do
just show up.
Just be there. Yeah. And that's, when that kid's 20 years old and he's talking on a radio station to you and he can't say, oh, my dad wasn't there. You were there.
You picked. Do you resent your dad?
No, we are. We're kind of friends. I think it's more, we're buddies. There's no, I wouldn't, even the word dad doesn't even make sense. Like we're friends. We'll phone each other on Friday.
You call him by his
How
first
you
name.
Call him by his first name.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and then that's, so that's it. But I mean, I know what I want to do with my kid is that's just be there.
Yeah, so Eric, you were saying like your grandmother. And grandmothers are a big deal in South Africa across all kinds of communities because grandmothers are like solid.
Yeah, she basically held ours together. She was the one that was always in charge, always having the final say. And like I said, she knew everybody and everybody knew my grandmother. So I already had that reputation in the hood going
and
around.
Grandmothers,
like, oh, you are.
Grandmothers have no compunction about smacking your face.
Sure.
A fly swatter.
Sure. Everything. Never mind a fly swatter.
I got
fly
swatter
and
find.
I got fly swatter and feather duster. And as a result, I'm lank, kinky now with things. there's nothing worse than getting hit with a feather duster and you've got a semi.
Wow.
So what happened with your gran? Like if you got into shit with her, what would happen?
Yeah, well, first she'd try and hit me, but then obviously because she was older, like
Did she use your full three names? What's your middle name?
Yeah, Eric Joseph George Jansen.
Eric Joseph George Jansen!
Yeah, I would get all three and then I'd be like, hey, this beating is about to happen. You know, and then I'd run away and then my dad or my mom would get home and then she'd tell whoever got home first. And then, yeah, they'd lay the smack down.
My sister, but it didn't happen often. My sister used to cry the whole day until my parents got
home. The weird thing is, it didn't happen as often as it should have because I was always smart in covering my tracks. Like, I never got caught properly. Like, I always just got the last bit because
that's
I fucked
training,
up.
Gangster training.
You know,
what shit did you cause? I mean, were you very, because I don't think you were that bad a kid. You don't seem to me to be one of those people who's like, totally out of control, but you were naughty.
Yeah, I was naughty. The kid that broke windows playing cricket.
You know. But you didn't go around like.
Yeah, not actively throwing rocks
stealing
at windows
TV.
And stuff, stealing stuff. Yeah, no, I wasn't that bad. Just like misbehaving, man, like not listening. And
you always spotted the one kid at the cricket match with a TV under his arm.
He's just
running a quick single.
You probably stole a TV.
No, you know what? At Athlone Boys High, we had a kind of reputation for that.
Yeah,
I was involved in the organization because I'm an administration guy.
Okay,
so I was involved in the organization. What time will we meet? Whose car radio are we stealing? I was more admin. Those mags are the wrong size.
I took
the orders. Like, what do you need? Hubcaps?
The man in logistics.
The JVC, because that's a different SCSI cable. That's what we had.
Oh, yeah.
So I took orders. I was head prefect as well, so I had full on power of the things.
That's incredible.
You have to be clever to do comedy.
No, you have to.
If you
keep telling the Goliaths this.
These are shots you are firing now. These are just shots you are firing.
But you have to be clever because you have to know what's going on.
Have you listened to our show?
Yeah.
Okay, then your statement is incongruous.
I do think you two are smart. And a lot of the time you talk a lot of shit, but it's smart because if you don't know what's going on in the world, like if you're doing a comedy show and it's irrelevant, general nonsense, like you're making fart jokes, it's only going to last for 5 minutes and then people are going to go, this is tiring now.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not going to give you a career.
Do you know what I feel? Older people give you less time. The younger people are willing to go with you for longer. You notice that at Kitcheners, students, they're willing to come with you. Like, okay, I'll come with you on your tangent of things. Yeah, yeah. Older people are like, you're talking shit,
hours.
Young man.
Yeah. And they get up and they leave.
Yeah.
They don't get up and leave. You can see them literally
shutting
down.
You can see them
down.
Getting tired. They just look pick like up their phones. Or they start sitting in like a really.
Are you telling me that at comedy shows now, and I haven't been to one for a long time because.
I saw you at Parker's doing
that. I don't go out anymore.
It was a charity.
That was ages ago, dude.
It was hectic.
3 years ago.
That was hard work. I was watching and I was thinking, like, damn. You've got your work cut out for you tonight. It was a charity event.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And you had a stellar lineup. You had Barry Hilton, Timmy Meraki, a whole bunch.
But it was nice. It was a
but
good
it was
evening.
A lucky evening. But that was a hot, tough crowd, man.
I still say, and I say this to every comedian, I love what you guys do, but it's very difficult because you're saying now people will pull out their phones.
You see them. No, you see them. You see them.
In the front row.
in, yeah, that's the shittest one. Like, if you see the dude in the front row whipping out his phone, then, I mean, and like, that's 3 minutes into your
like
set.
Like, Facebook's better three than what you're doing, minutes, is yeah, what he's saying.
Normally do it, like some people have
said.
But
if he's doing Facebook, that's cool. That means he's interacting with someone. When he's playing Jelly Candy Bean Crush. Baby Crush thing.
Candy Crush. Yeah.
No, really.
About, you know, you young kids today. No, if he's doing Tetris and you can see and you're like, oh, well done.
Home. No, but it happened. School. It happened a bunch of times. It's even happened to me.
How do you stop yourself from not giving up there?
The thing is, you can address it, but addressing it is kind of like shooting yourself in the foot because you ask the dude, yo, what are you doing on your phone? Then he goes, I'm on Facebook. Then you're like, why?
I hate you.
And he says, you are boring.
So yeah, you don't address it.
You are fucked. That's all that it is. You can't do anything from there. You just have to leave.
But this is it, right? It's tough as nails because now it used to be that people would come, they would at very least pay attention or they'd just be troublesome.
If they paid at the door, you kind of get their attention. So Parker's charges $120. That's a fair amount of money for a young person to be
doing.
You've
got to do it.
So they're there to listen. It's these other gigs where the guy says, no, man, it's just a free comedy night. Then you're dealing with people going, hey, we just were here for dinner.
But
you talk.
Yeah, yeah, that does happen. I was going to say, surprisingly, like, because we have the Monday night gig where it's free. Guys just come in. Monday night
in Melville.
At Poppy's
in Melville.
Poppy's in Melville. And then on Wednesdays at the old lighthouse in Melville as well. It's free comedy. But because of it constantly happening every Monday, people have realized that, no, we can't just come here and talk shit while the guys are doing the thing because these guys are actively practicing to do comedy elsewhere. So we need to pay attention to them. But then you do get the people that just rock up and then they're like, yeah, this is boring. I want to leave. And then,
so, Eric, have you had to deal with like political correctness? Because now people will record stuff and out of context, it's not going to look good. Sometimes you'll be cracking a really, really great abortion joke.
Yeah.
as one does.
Of the two that exist.
One does. Yeah.
And it'll be going very well. And then someone in the crowd, unbeknown to you, is going to take that. They're going to cut out 30 seconds of it that makes you look like a Nazi. They're going to put it online. And people are going to say, don't support Eric Janssen.
Boycott.
This is what he says about...
Gareth, can you organize that for me? I need that kind of publicity. No one's recorded me or put me on anything.
I promise you no one needs it.
I'll do the abortion joke.
It would destroy you. It's no fun.
I hang around at Mary Stubbs. At least you know those chicks put out. You know what I mean?
No. I've never had to deal with that.
What is the de rigueur? What is the good manners? If you drop your chick off there, do you have to wait or do you say, I'll be back? I'll come back. How long is it going to be?
Why are you looking at me?
Do they have like a bell like at a hotel where you ding, 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 hi. And then they're quite friendly. Hi, what are you here for? What do you think I'm here for?
For our bitches.
Mr. Levinson, your girlfriend is at counter number 4. Your girlfriend
turns
is ready for collection at counter number 4.
Turns out she's just fat.
Nothing to get rid of.
Now record that and put it online.
Yeah, you see?
But so you say you haven't had to deal with this.
Never had to deal with it because I feel like what I talk about doesn't necessarily offend people more than it makes me look like an
idiot. You talk a lot about his stories are him.
Yeah,
the other day I was. That's kind of stuff.
That's the shit I talk about. So if you're getting offended about my stories, then you have another problem that needs
but people do.
A doctor for
you. You know what Dusty said when we chatted before we took over the show? He said...
You mean before Eric took over the show?
Yeah. I said we.
Yeah.
The real we. He said, take a person who's working, these workers that we're in the traffic with. They're going to accountants or they're marketing people. If they have a shitty day, at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, they're back at work.
Yeah.
We can't. If I have a shitty day at Parker's, that's my job. I've got to suck it up. And tomorrow
Come
night,
back.
I'm there. And at Parker's, you do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You used to do Sunday as well.
Sundays as well.
If you have a shitty one, there's always that one. There's five shows. You do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The one of them is going to be shit. You just got to accept it.
Really?
These guys that say I stormed all five, like rubbish.
Really?
Yeah.
Rubbish.
So when was
there's two types of comedians. Those that are going to die and those that have.
When was your last very, very cuck night?
Sun City, last night.
Last week's Saturday, yeah. I did an impromptu birthday gig. Like, they phoned me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to do the gig at 8 at night.
Getting paid.
And I was like, yo, yeah, I got paid for it. But they were like, yo, man, you just need to rock up. So I'm like, what? Wait, first tell me what's going on. He's like, no, it's a birthday.
Yeah.
So I'm going, okay, firstly, there's no stage. They're going to have the table set up incorrectly.
Yeah.
They might not even have a mic, so I'm going to have to shout at these people.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'll do it because it was my first proper gig of 2017. And then I rocked up, and then there were three people in the audience that I knew, and they were the only three people that laughed while I was doing the thing. Because it was a surprise 70th birthday party.
It
they were dressed up as cowboys and Indians. Yeah, no. And no matter what I did, like, I was like, yo, guys, can you guys just get in a round of applause going? Then they'd go.
Oh.
No, carry on. You're supposed to be funny, not
oh,
making us clap.
Cuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very humbling. But like you said, when it comes to a run like that, 5 days, if you hit that death in the first night, the rest of the four are amazing. because now you're performing at a level you didn't even know you could perform at.
It's like you're playing Russian roulette.
That's what it is.
One of the barrels is going to have a bullet in it.
It's going to be loaded.
That night, you just got to suck it up.
It's going to mess your brain up.
So do you get off the stage early or do you just motor through?
No. Well, it depends on how long you're doing. For him, I think it's more difficult for him doing 25 than it is for me doing 15. Because I can do 15. Like 15 is cool. It's not that much anymore. So doing a 15 is okay. But if you are dying and shit isn't going nicely by like the 7th minute, yeah, the other 7 or 8 minutes, yeah. Yeah, it just hurts. It hurts. It's like physical pain.
And do people start booing? Do they swear?
No, people. Quite well mannered audiences. No. They listen. They just listen really well. Like, no, there's
I've had a lady get up.
There's silence in the room.
She was at the back of the audience. So it's a kind of movie setup. It's at the casino in Grand West.
Yeah.
It's a small 200-seater. But for her to get out of her seat, she had to go, like, you know, when you walk through the seats,
yeah,
everyone.
You push past everybody.
And I had walked on, and there was only about, say, 30 people in the audience, because it was one of those MVG things. And I started my stuff, and hey, because you want to, as a comedian, where are you from? What's the story here? What do you guys do? Because I'll adapt my comedy to what you do. I'm not going to talk about Star Wars if none of you have seen it. So I'm trying to find out who they are, and this chick got up, and quite loud, she just kept walking. She goes, yeah, this is some cuck, Yuri.
Yeah, no.
She just carried on. And now she had said her thing. Now she has to get through the people, and she's, excuse me, come here. And she just left.
Oh.
And now I've been on stage for about 34 seconds.
Yeah.
How much time? You know you're supposed to make an impression with this 8-second bullshit. It's not true. Trevor Noah even said to me, he said, I talk for a minute sometimes without a laugh. What I'm doing is I'm establishing who I am.
Before
telling you what I do, what I
funny.
Like.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that 8 seconds. They must laugh as soon as you come on. There's a comedian who goes, if they're not laughing within the first thing, I'm like, what are you? You're not a clown. You can't walk on there and go, rah! And then they laugh.
Unless you're funny looking.
Cokie Falco.
Yeah.
There are funny
establish
looking.
Who you are. And then they didn't give me a chance to even do that. Yes, there's somebody kakiri. And I think she got a free ticket because MVGs get those.
Yeah, they get the free ones.
If you lose at the tables.
Yeah, because she loses a lot at the casino and she drinks herself to pieces there.
No,
and
but after she left, I said, can we talk about her? And then they said, yes. She became the 20 minutes of the show.
You see, that's where it works in your favor. If the person leaves, but if they tell you are cuck and they stay there, you will remain cuck for a whole hour.
The Blues Room, was in Santon, hey?
Yeah, that's Santon.
I managed to empty a table of about 35 people. They got up together and left. But now the place only takes, say, maybe.
Do you remember
people.
What you said?
I do remember what I said. It was the Blues Room would have like 74 comedians on, right? And I was like just before the headliners. Now you're going on at about 10:30.
Yeah.
At night.
Yeah.
And as I got out there, now I looked at the people. They were having fun. They had a balloon, but they weren't having fun. So it's a birthday, but they fucking hate each other. And I said, hey, so is it someone's birthday? Is it a office? Because I'm just asking, nice friendly. And the woman in front said, we're not here to be in your comedy show. Just do the comedy. So I said, all right, lady, I'm just asking if it's a birthday so I can find out. She said, did you not hear what I said? And I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
What a bitch.
And then she said, let's leave. And they all just left. I'll be playing. This is from Psycho.
Exorcist. We're not here to be part of your comedy show.
The demons.
But I mean, so you do sometimes get those people who are deliberately there.
But how do they decide?
To make your life difficult.
25 of them got up and left
like
at the same time.
They bring their own jokes to the comedy show, yeah.
They're douchey about it.
Yes.
I've had hecklers where I've said to the guy, listen, you're doing well. I understand that you want to heckle because you've seen it on TV and you've watched the roast battle. But you're actually fucking up the show. We need to just do the show now. We love you and you're getting all the attention you need. What else have you got? Let's do this. It's you and us. Let's go. No, nothing. I said, okay, are you sure? Because you're going to chirp again. My young comics that are coming on, they've just started. I'm cool because I'm an old Torpian. I don't give a shit. I'm not getting paid more if I'm funnier. That's what I've realized. I've never got a bonus from Joe Parker saying, Dave, you were really funny tonight.
The way you destroy that heckler, though. Here's an extra
$1,000. But to deal with, that's another thing. The host of that show has to be strong enough to go, hey, you're funny, but I've got a guy that's coming on here. He's going to tell stories, and you do need to listen.
Yeah,
I understand a good heckler is funny, though.
Yeah, sometimes the host takes it upon himself to go, look, you can talk when I'm on stage. So you can speak to me. But don't do it while the other guys
have written a set.
Because
they actually
impress you. I just have to make sure the show happens.
And it's so fragile when you start, right? Because you don't know yet. You guys are experienced now. You can handle those bumps. But yes, it can take it out of you.
Listen to our show. We never know how to start. We try to do a thing where let's start the show like this. You know how in KTV and they speak at the same time? Hi, you are listening
to the Gas Comedy Podcast.
We don't know how to start our show. And that's maybe what this whole thing is. You've taken on us. How many shows have we got now? 45.
We've got about 40 shows on cliffcentral.com.
Is that for a radio station like the, are there, in the world, there are these internet kind of based full radio show.
There's nothing like what we're doing.
That's what people don't know. When I started there, someone said, what is Cliff Dean? He had a good job there at that station. Why did he leave? What? And I try and explain to them what you're doing here is huge. You've taken on these two fools. Yeah. And we're also finding out it's not radio. It's not like I have to have a clock where it goes, time check, traffic.
No, it's different. It every day is different. And sometimes it's people just telling their stories. It's kind of like comedy in this way because you get the storyteller comedians. Then you get the guys who are dropping one-liners.
Yeah.
And then you get those people who have got very complicated, very intricate, very intellectualized ways of getting around things. But there's a punchline at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody's different. And what I love is that this show's also evolved. I mean, in the beginning, we had Trevor Gumby and Nina Hasty doing a show together.
But now look at what they're doing.
I know. They're both doing very well.
Doing incredible
shit. I wouldn't say that that's because of the TG Squared show that they started here, but it certainly helped.
They had a two-hour thing.
Somizi's got a show on Metro now, which he didn't do radio before this. So there are things that have happened. Tumi Morake is doing extraordinarily well, but she was doing well before us anyway.
Yeah,
and she's amazing. So it opens people's mind to the idea that, oh, look, doing what they do in a format that's unrestricted like this means they can show off some of the things that you don't get to see them doing in comedy. I mean,
and also,
you can't,
when you interview someone, you've got that full hour to get maybe in depth or to just let them relax.
You get to hear their
story. Have you ever interviewed Mark Banks?
I would love to. I've had him. I think I've had him on once.
Chaos.
Before. He's a lunatic.
That's the cool thing. And if he goes onto 5FM and is with Fresh there, they've
got 5 minutes.
Seven things that they have to do. There's where the traffic news thing.
Yeah, it's then the
and
check,
with us in the studio
the
is Mark Banks. He's gonna and then Mark's like, hi. Now he sounds like a chop. If in this format, he's got time to tell us who he is, talk about his childhood, doing things. It's incredible. And I don't think people realize that when they say, what are you doing at Christian? Do you get paid? Like, I love coming into this thing on Friday.
It's fun.
It actually gives me something to do. I'd normally be awake at about 11:30 on Friday.
Yep. That's true.
PlayStation.
Do you think that, like, a life of comedy can actually be very unhealthy?
I'm into fixing lazy comics. If I see a guy that's talented, I say, what are you doing tomorrow? And these are young comics, 20 years old.
Yeah,
I say,
me.
He's like,
me.
You. Me. And I say, what are you doing tomorrow? He's like, oh, I'm going to get up at 11 or smoke a doob. I say, no, you're not. You're going to phone me and we're going to go here and we're going to have a meeting and you're going to write me 5 minutes of comedy. And you must have a job. Jerry Seinfeld said that. He was a young comic, very successful, but he'd get up at 11, maybe go to gym. Then he watched these workers downstairs fixing a scaffolding. They got there at 6, they had a break at 10, they had another lunch break at 12, and by 4 o'clock they had packed up their tools and they went home. And he said, that's what we need to be doing. I need to come into work, write some comedy, have a break at 10, have a cup of coffee, get back to work, find a thing, have two meetings, have lunch, and be at 4 o'clock, pack my little comedy thing, and then go and have a normal life. Going to have dinner. I struggle to go meet someone for dinner after because I'm like, I'm not into. Why are you going to dinner now? I've just woken up.
Yeah.
Breakfast.
This doesn't make sense. Yeah. This is my second
meal.
And
I'm into fixing lazy comics. And one of the things on this show is we talk about lazy comics just for 5 minutes. Like, who's the laziest comic? Let's go and fix him. Her.
Yeah.
Let's go fix them, him, her.
So have you rehabilitated some of these people?
No, they're impossible to rehabilitate.
It's a difficult thing to do because
It's selfless.
It's like doing comedy as well. The first time you do it, you're like, wow, this is different. And then it starts to become routine because you keep doing the same thing. Then you're like, yeah, wait, this is boring. I'm going to go back to what I was doing.
Riyad Musa sits in a, literally closes the door, opens the newspaper, and writes three or four minutes about an article in there. It's not going to do it on stage, but it just keeps his muscles. It's comedy gym.
Yeah.
That's what open mic is. You've got to go to Kitchener's. When I go to the box and I'm there, then Jason will say, do you want to do 5 minutes? And I'm like, I don't know 5 minutes. And they're like, no, bullshit. Go on stage and do
and
your
just
five
talk
minutes.
Shit for 5 minutes.
You're training. You're in your comedy gym.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Just get it done. So
and are the best comedians the ones who you can just drop in front of a microphone and?
There's not many that can. I don't think a lot of comics would like to be asked to do 5 minutes if they haven't prepared.
Yeah, if they haven't prepared, then it's a different story. Mm. But you do get the guys that are working hard, the guys that are constantly on the mic, just doing the thing at all gigs everywhere in the country. Guys like Lois, have you seen Lois Madinga?
Yeah, and Lois Ogola.
Well. Lois Ogola has been doing 5 a lot lately as well. Robbie Collins, all these guys are just jumping on to do 5. And it's not necessarily that they're doing new material every time, they're just making sure that their brains are working beautifully.
That is such a talent.
Yeah.
Did you do your first gig now? This is the birthday gig.
Yeah, that is the first gig. And
I
then
Sun
I'm doing
City
the run at
Wednesday
at
night.
The Goliath Comedy Club next weekend. Yeah, that, no, that's
you know when
gig.
You're rusty, yeah? And I said, do you mind? Like, rust. I haven't done comedy this year, so it's the 11th. Of January, and I haven't done comedy since maybe the 16th of December.
That
and I said to them, if I'm a bit rusty, are you cool with that? So I made a deal with the audience, like, I'm going to try some stuff. And they were like, yeah, we're cool, yeah. And it was interesting. It was myself, Robbie.
Momotebe
and Joey Rastine. Just crazy. The car trip down there should have been the comedy show.
No. The best jokes happen backstage.
Put a microphone in that, which is essentially what you're doing with the podcast.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The worst thing about the Sun City gig is they give you, say, 3,000 rand for your 20 minutes, and then there's a strip club downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah, like just to the left of where you perform.
my bill at the strip club was 3,186 rand. I'm 186 rand down, and I can't remember what Amelia's vagina looks like.
Yeah, that's funny. That is hilarious.
It was a waste of. I did 20 minutes of comedy. I spent it in. Hey, I made it last, as the gamblers always say.
Yeah.
You know, they always make excuses. Like,
yes.
Yeah, how did you? How much did you?
Yeah,
lose?
But
I lost 10,000. But yo, we sat there for hours. Eh?
Got such enjoyment out of it.
It was nice. It was nice.
But it's fun to lose money.
You see, I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
My business model is failed.
Yeah,
it's
horrendous.
Business model is
gone. I'm 186 rand down.
Shocking. No one ever taught you.
I cannot remember leaving that place.
How's your depressed mom now?
Let's phone her.
You want to phone her?
No, listen, she came to Joburg for the holidays, visited her friends and family. It was my birthday on the 26th of December. She doesn't drink anymore, which makes her a little bit boring.
Oh, your birthday's after Jesus' birthday.
So I have nothing. Just no one comes to my birthday.
Just after.
No one cares.
I have this lonely birthday in my hammock.
Shame, man.
At least I can masturbate on my birthday.
Wow. That helps.
You can do that every other day.
Thank you.
Just so you know.
But not in a hammock.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can.
It doesn't have to be a birthday treat.
I mean, really.
She's cool. She's got like old people have the Tupperware dish of pills. Have you noticed?
Yes.
And
it's separated into different days.
Yeah. My mom's hours. It's not days won't fix you.
Half past two, half past three.
So she pops her pills. And she's actually, what I love about her, she's become tougher. She used to break down easily and be like, poor me. Everyone hates me, that kind
now
of thing.
Now
she stands
hardcore.
Up to yourself. Dave, right. Shut up. Stop talking shit.
Really?
And I'm like, thank you. That's cool. It's almost like I've done 47 years of training, and she's going, okay, I get this now. I can stand up for myself.
Do you still feel you need to make her laugh?
No, not at all. She literally now has – she's funnier than me.
Yeah. It gets to a point where your parents go, well, since he's doing this, I mean, I might as well give it a shot.
My mom has no idea how funny she is, though.
Can you imagine your parents?
My dad does the thing on the regular now. It's his thing to just make jokes. But he doesn't know. He's just doing it, and he thinks, yeah, this is me being me. Like, the other morning, I had to leave home really early because I was buying something, but I didn't say anything to them about it the previous day. And I wake up at, like, 9, which is weird for them, so they see me. Yeah, yeah. And my mom's like, wow, you're awake early. And my dad's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm gonna go buy some drugs. He looks at me, he's like, you don't do that shit on an empty stomach. Come eat something first, then you can go. I'm like, what?
That's brilliant.
What? Not on an empty stomach. I thought you were gonna shout at me for buying drugs. Thanks, Dad. My dealer's gonna love this story.
I haven't got a funny story with my mom, but she just really is funny and has no idea how funny she is. I think she's being serious. She'll ask a question about the internet or Twitter or something.
Yeah.
And then you just listen to her asking questions. How do you know this, Mom? I saw it in You Magazine. So You Magazine is like Wikipedia for old people.
Yeah,
and they believe that shit.
They love You Magazine, huh?
It's weird.
What is that all
about?
My mom
has, cigarettes, big expense. Because she's got an Excel sheet that she sends me once a month. Of her,
with her expenses.
And it's down to the last cent. And then I say to Mom, cigarettes, that's 80 rand. A pack, or around 50 rand for a pack.
That's a lot. Yeah,
and then it's 37 rand 42. Why is U Magazine such an odd price?
Is that how much U Magazine costs?
Yeah, U Magazine is.
But it's a weird
price.
And then I say to her, like, that, you could cut that out. And then DSTV, Mom, do you need DSTV? I'll give you my hard drive. You can watch Suits the whole day.
Yeah.
No, I don't know how that hard drive thing works.
Yeah, technical.
What is the BSB? So it's just fun. But that's almost like what those Americans would write a book about, that, like, shit my dad says or stuff like that. I'm drunk a lot, so I don't remember what my mom said. Maybe alcoholism runs in my family. I've just realized
maybe.
That.
Yeah.
We do have a beer tasting.
You've got to own it. But now tell me about the beers.
Well, you know what? The comedy thing, when someone, you in this industry, don't you find people always come to you and say, Gareth, I listened to your show and I didn't like the thing you did. Wouldn't you like to have another thing that you do? Say, you enjoy flying. You're an amateur pilot.
Mm.
And then there's someone after a gig who comes and says, Gareth, hey, I was flying to the thing. Do you like this route? You've got something else to talk about.
No, I don't want to talk to anyone.
Fuck people.
But that's exactly. Yeah. But I felt that the comedy thing, everyone said to me, what's it like? Can I tell you a joke? And I thought, let me just do something else that I'm interested in.
That's
and
the
I
most annoying thing.
Hell of interested in
like
the craft beer thing.
Unless you're a comedian, don't come to me with a joke. Don't.
Listen, sometimes
like,
they
speak
do
to me. Speak to me like a human being.
Even a joke. Like, if someone goes up and they do this to comedians all the time, tell me a joke.
That's the other thing. So the other thing, they want to tell you a joke. Can I tell you this joke? And then they say the weirdest thing. You can use this in your show.
Yeah.
Did you watch my show? I don't tell jokes. I just have a little flow of stuff.
All right, so
then they tell a joke that you've heard already.
So the beer thing you just did, I'm interested in craft, something else to talk to people about.
I went to the States and I saw these microbreweries and I just thought, why isn't there this taste? Because we all drank our SAB beers, nothing wrong with them. But just the fact that they're, like with wine or with cherries or with biltong, you find other tastes.
Yeah, sure.
And then that was 97. And I came back and I thought, there's no one doing it. And then I found one, Mitchell's was doing it, they were doing it. And I'm a beer lover. I love my beer. Then I thought, let me do my own beer. Beer enthusiast, yes. Come see my collection.
Someone said enthusiast.
I'm excited about beer.
I'm a porn enthusiast. Look how enthusiastic I am.
I'm so enthusiastic. Other body parts are involved.
Because they say, for example, if you like cigars, you're a cigar aficionado. You know?
Okay, I'm a beer aficionado.
You could say that, but actually you're an enthusiast.
Yeah,
you're
but then again, I'm also not a beer snob. I'll drink
an enthusiast
beer.
A little bit dirty, you know?
You're a bit too excited.
Says, listen, I have to go to the psychologist because what do you say? I've got a problem. So what do you mean? I like sausages. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to go to a psychologist if you like sausages. I like sausages. Do you like sausages? Do you want to see my collection?
Oh, my God.
Please go to the psychologist.
That's my uncle's joke.
No.
But the beer thing is also the other interest, so that I've got something else to talk about. Like, you look at comedians, John Christmas is become a producer, he's got other interests, he's into art. So you have another facet of your life. Now, I'm not saying that it's only beer and comedy, but it is nice to talk about something else.
But they kind of go together as well, so that helps.
We used to get free beer as a payment. Do you remember those? I don't know if you had that time.
They paid you on the dope. You were on the dope system.
I was in grade 10 at that time, I think.
Yeah?
But we had
that's not legal at all.
They would do a show and they'd say,
when was that? Like 2011?
You get a free meal and you have a bar tab. So they're forcing you to be fat and alcoholics. But if some comedians, their bar tab was gone in like 8 seconds before you've got the fork with them.
Yeah.
Where's our bar tab? Darren Moore was here.
Can you believe when you look at what's going on in America with guys like Louis C.K. and I mean they've done incredible things.
He's got a pod. He started with pods
and Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
and
I didn't know Joe Rogan was funny until you pointed it out that his podcast is hilarious.
He's great. There are a lot of very very smart guys who are doing this. In fact, I saw the other day Alec Baldwin's got a podcast.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin, here's the thing.
He's got a podcast.
Yeah, and he interviews everybody. Yeah. We've run out of guests. Same as you. That's why we're on this one. but what I find the best guests aren't the Danny Kays or the singers or the actors. Getting a man on the street into that chair, as comedians, we'll make it funny. So I'm more into, what are you? I'm a pilot. I work at a haberdashery. I'm a thing. Come and sit in this chair here and enjoy the podcast. So we're evolving as we go. And to use America as an example, to listen to Alec Baldwin, especially when his podcast is a bit boring for the first 15 minutes. Then it gets meaty. Have you listened to the one with
I listened to one.
The resting dude, that weird flipping man.
Maybe because he just started.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it.
Lots of sponsorship. That's what I didn't like. Every 5 minutes. Use the thing. And like, come on, I was listening to the podcast. Now I must buy your crap.
I don't mind that actually, because I know that it costs money to make these things. So for me, it's practical. But I didn't
have Mickey Rourke.
Was it Mickey Rourke?
Just listen to that one. In terms of learning about Mickey Rourke and talk about struggling and having a hard time. Jesus. That guy, the stories he tells, he says, no, there wasn't. He had the most difficult. He was a pimp as a 14-year-old in proper downtown somewhere in Detroit. So he had to send the flyers so that the other pimps would beat him up. Because he's getting the flyer for his chicks, for his club. So come to my club and get a hand job. And the other pimps, he's a white kid, he's 14. Yeah. Scrawl, eh? Also a lost kid. And he would get beaten up by these large, hectic fucking guns and 14 years old.
Shit.
And we see Mickey Rourke, he's a great actor. He's gone through some plastic surgery, likes his dog.
But he's had shit.
He's had some hectic stuff.
The thing about these podcasts in general is that, I mean, even Seinfeld, who would have ever said that Jerry Seinfeld, who produced the most successful TV show ever in terms of income. That guy, he doesn't have to work another day in his life, right? But he does this comedians and cars with coffee.
And you know, you couldn't get backing from any of the big channels.
No, none of them would do it.
Well, Netflix, kind of.
Eventually. Oh. But this is the point.
What is that like for us when we're proposing something?
But dude, this is it. I mean, people don't understand how powerful these things are. The reason Jerry Seinfeld, and he did one with Obama, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Now, this shows you, who was it that had... Mark Maron got Obama to sit in his garage. He's got a podcast studio in his garage. He parks his car in part of the studio.
A comedian with a car?
Yes.
No, but, yo, he's but winning.
But what this guy has done, and what Rogan has done, and a bunch of others have done.
You can't do that on radio.
They've been able to. No, you can't do it on
you'd
radio.
You have to go through the marketing guy. No, you can't have him on.
But people are turning to this stuff because it's real. It's interesting. It's thorough. You can have proper conversations. Real people who talk like real people. They're not going, it's now 13 January. It's 3 minutes to nine.
It's time for beer tasting.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous,
that's
right?
Where would you have a breakfast beer tasting on Metro or something?
But you can hear.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, you can. You can.
You bring some radio stations have like a meth tasting.
I think you're taking this unradio thing a bit too far now. Like, relax.
Well, I told Mabali we're going to start something, especially for her Weed Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
Oh, wow.
Why Wednesday? Because every day.
WW,
man.
But we got Breakfast Beer Club, BBC.
But in return, if she wants to do Weed Wednesdays, she's got to do Flash Fridays, where she has to come in on Friday topless.
We played, she played golf yesterday. Every time you lost one of the holes, 9 holes, you had to take an item of clothing off. So it's slightly gay, because it's just 3 guys and a caddy.
It's slightly gay, but I mean, at the end of the day, you found
out
that
if you drew the hole, you get an item back.
Ah.
So on the 18th, I teed off in my underpants. And like one sock.
You should get Ben in on that.
Observatory Golf Club, yeah.
Next
It's Orenda Noche, Granga de Padre. Cliff Central.
Padre.
Ojos Sentente. Meet Wednesday.
All
right, everybody.
No one's ever clapped after us.
Listen, this has been fun. I can't believe we're out of time already.
No, we have to work now.
You have to do your show next.
Can we just carry on from this energy and like
do you want
transfer
to?
It?
You just want to carry on? Let me just do
Can I have Ben?
You can have Ben.
Sweet, we've got Ben. Oh,
are you going to join Rory McIlroy again?
Apparently he's not signing in interviews. What are those things called?
Signing interviews, autographs, man.
Apparently he's not signing any.
Tomorrow.
You'll see Rory. Did you touch him?
No, I touched him.
What does he feel like?
Did he recognize your Irishness, Ben Kopinski?
There's no Irishness.
We have to know, man. Some people have different textures.
have you got any women in your lives? What's happening with you?
Many.
Many.
I played strip golf.
You will occasionally find, because this happens with a lot of comedians, you will find interest in the crowd at some of your shows.
Yes, there would be often able to have a chat.
There are women who think you're so funny they want to sleep with
humor,
you.
Humor, if you think about it, all those interviews,
and then
a lot of
interviews
will say, those models always say, what do you like in a guy? Oh, he must be able to make me laugh. But those are the most difficult people to make laugh.
Yeah.
Because they're stupid.
Because they're stupid, right?
Did I say that?
Yes, you did, but it's true.
But you agreed.
Yes.
Gareth Cliff agrees with me.
I've dated models, yes.
Have you?
Absolutely stupid.
What's it like?
Yeah, no, they don't. But think about it, Dave. They don't need to develop. Eric, you've met these girls. They don't need to develop
a
personality.
They do not. They're just beautiful. That's all. That's like the only thing they need.
I kind of date ex-models. I think
the ones who are too old.
From like 92.
Rancid models.
I can't. You asked me the other day when we were leaving here. I was like, what is the youngest you can date? And we came up with that.
Half
your age plus 7. Then I kind of looked at you and I went, oh boy, I have some issues.
I have work to fix myself now.
Listen, here's what we need to know to wrap up the day. These two are coming up at 9 o'clock with the Gas Comedy Podcast, Dave Levinson and Eric Janssen. Very nice to have you guys here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Cliff.
Jesus, don't call me
His
that.
Name's Gareth. Come on, man.
Thank you.
Get it right.
Yeah, Eric, please take over the show again.
My God, I'm going to try.
Thank you. We need all the help we can get here. CliffCentral.com.